Praise the Lord. I truly do love the Word of God. It changes people. We are all a testimony of that. I will remain confident in this. I will see the goodness of the Lord. We can't base the Lord's goodness on trials in our lives, situations we go through. Through all of that, I guarantee you, you will see the goodness of the Lord. Have you ever been through it? Are you going through it right now? You know, Sunday it was said, don't pray for mercy, pray for boldness. When the nation of Israel was in the valley of Goshen and there was the plague of darkness, it was a darkness that you couldn't see. But yet there was light in the vessels, and when things get dark and when things get hard, they can see God in us. And them are situations that we can allow the kingdom to shine. Thank you, Pastor Schumacher. I do not take this lightly. I believe that I heard from the Lord Sunday morning very clearly. And I want to talk to you tonight. I want to teach you something with the theme. And I mentioned this on Sunday morning. No stone unturned. Building a temple for the kingdom. No stone unturned. Building a temple for the kingdom. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Kings, the 6th chapter. I'm going to read 3 scriptures, and in the name of Jesus, you may be seated. Thank you to my wife, who has been such a support system lately. She's right there holding my hand, keeping me moving. And I'm thankful for her. Thanks to this church for your goodness and all that you do to help in situations. 1 Kings, the 6th chapter, starting in verse 1. And it came to pass, in the 480th year after the children of Israel were come out of the land of Egypt, in the 4th year of Solomon's reign over Israel, in the month of Ziv, it's pronounced Ziv, which is the 2nd month that he began to build the house of the Lord. And then I want you to skip down to verse 36. It says, and he built the inner court with 3 rows of hewed stone and a row of cedar beams. In the 4th year was the foundation of the house of the Lord laid in the month of Ziph. And in the 11th year, in the month Bul, which is the 8th month, was the house finished throughout all the parts thereof, and according to all the fashion of it, so was he 7 years in building it. Lord Jesus, I ask your strength. Lord, you said through the mouth of the man of God that you would give us strength in our weakness. Lord, I need your strength tonight. Help me, God, as I teach what I believe you have laid upon my heart for your precious body, for your children, Lord, for such a time as this. Lord, this world so desperately needs to hear something positive and something that brings hope into our lives. And Lord, it's found in your word. And I pray that you would help us, Lord, to be effective for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Brother Mundy. So, in these verses of Scripture in 1 Kings here, the sixth chapter, that first verse, the month of Ziv, that word is, it's actually the second month of their calendar year. It is to be prominent or properly brightness. It compares to cheerfulness, brightness, or a bright countenance, splendor, the month of flowers, or corresponding to our months of April and May. There's rain in May. Dear God, there's rain in May. But there's new life in May. It's the month of flowers and color. And then in the 38th verse, the month Bul, it's the same as 0944 in the Hebrew, in the sense of rain or increase or produce. So we have the month of flowers, brightness, rain to bring those flowers, and then when the temple was finished, we have the month of increase or rain, which corresponds with our months of November, December. But what I would like for you to see in this, in following that theme of no stone unturned, do you remember about Boaz as the farmer? And he was always looking to the field, looking to the condition of the people. And I mentioned what God spoke to me about the stones, how every year a farmer works his land, there's stones that come to the top. I was reminded this morning when I was studying about a young man that I went to school with in fourth grade. I remember our teacher saying, "What's something that grows every spring?" And seriously, this was a farm boy. He raised his hand and he said, "Stones." And people laughed, but he said, "We pick them every spring. We turn the land over and they grow. There they are." But there they are. And so when we see the parable of the sower and we relate that to soul winning, there's the talk about earth and dirt. And very true it is, because you and I at one point in time were rolling around in the dirt of this world. But the Lord was working the soil in our lives. We didn't know the time, we didn't know the day, we didn't know the hour. But all of a sudden, the Lord put us in a position where someone who could handle the word of God put his hands on us, on that stone that came from the filth, and then used it to build something for the kingdom of God. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Peter. I've asked them to leave the screen down tonight. I want you to see some things. I want you to see this instruction, first of all, that Solomon used to build the temple. Who did he get the plans to build the temple from? His daddy. David wanted to build a temple, but God would not allow him to build the temple, but he allowed for Solomon to build the temple. Can I tell you tonight and instill in you that God has put something in each and every one of his children to build something for the kingdom of God? He gave us the plan, and whatever realm it is that he wants to use us in, it's to build something for the kingdom. And so that those months that the temple started and when it was finished, if you think about the spring and the flowers and the rain, and then you think about in the end, you think about the produce or the increase and the rain. How about the former rain and the latter rain? The latter rain to be greater, but the pastor said tonight, how about in the spirit, in our sight? Should we be seeing greater in the end of our walk with God? Because of our maturity in him, we should be ready to bring forth increase for the kingdom of God. Because of the Spirit of God, which quickens us and has allowed us to mature in him, now allows for us to be vessels to be used by him. Let's see what the scriptures say. 1 Peter, the second chapter. I went back to the basics tonight. I have brought a Bible to the pulpit with me that I have not brought here for years. And I was thinking about Vince Lombardi saying, this is a football. He went back to the basics with his team. And Pastor, much like you've said before, I have a Bible in front of me tonight that has tear-stained pages and notes and scribbles and highlights of my early years and my early walk with God with such a burden for the lost. 1 Peter, the second chapter and verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, look at this, verse 2, as newborn babes, desire sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious or kind, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God as precious. Ye also as lively stones or living are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus. So he's talking about building something for the kingdom, stones, and we're fitly put together to be a temple, if you will, or a vessel for the kingdom of God. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore, which believe he is precious, be unto them which is disobedient the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now a people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Rolling around out in the dirt. But the Lord made a way for us to be brought to the top where someone could put their hands on us and put us into this body, to this kingdom, and make us a part of the family of God, and now we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. But what are we to do? To show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You and I. And so the question has to be, do you think that God wants to stop at us? Or would you think there's room for more in the crib? So, have I been through it in the last 5 or 6 weeks? Yes. But I will share with you how in this situation, God has shown me, if it's true in the natural, you can draw a parallel to the spiritual. And you can learn things through situations. And I will tell you tonight that we have been involved in conversations, I and my wife, heard just yesterday at the workplace, because of a tragedy, all of a sudden she's talking to somebody in her workplace about the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues. What opened the door for that conversation? Something that we had to go through and endure, but God used it for the goodness of the kingdom. Through the trials of our faith, there will be trials. There will be challenges. But when it's darkest is when his light shines the brightest. And that's when they see God in us. You know, I had a lot going on last week, but what I was feeling, and this isn't about me, but what I was feeling is I had one more Bible study I needed to teach so that my kids would get all 12 lessons. I'm thankful my kids are in the house tonight. So we got together and taught the end time study, and there was such a presence of God there, and there was such a goodness there. And you know what? I will remain confident in this. I will see the goodness of the Lord. It won't always come the way we want to design it, but it will come. So, in 1 Peter here, we see the same scenario of the no stone unturned. Remember that theme, no stone unturned. And even in our lives as the church, as we're this building fitly put together that God places together and builds, even in our situations and our trials and tribulations, don't you think that it is going unnoticed by the Lord? No stone unturned. He knows each and everything that's going on in each and every place of the wall or the building that makes up his kingdom. No stone unturned. And we were a people who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy because of his goodness. When we were wretched, he saw potential. So it's always sometimes in the middle of trials that the church shines the brightest. I'm thinking of Eutychus, who in the 20th chapter of the book of Acts, verses 9 through 12, he was a young man, the Bible says, and he was seated at the window. Let me stop right there and talk to you about a window, though. In the temple, in 1 Kings, the 6th chapter, the Bible talks about the narrow windows that were built in the temple. And it's so interesting, as I studied it, what that means is to stop the ears and the mouth of the enemy. What does that mean? It means we can see outside and we know what's out there. But when we come into a place like this, yes, that's out there. Yes, we can see it. Yes, the light comes in. But we hear reality in here, not what comes from out there that he wants to put in our minds and in our eyes and in our ears. This is where truth flows. This is reality, not what the world is teaching. So Eutychus is sitting at a window. Biblical names meant something, by the way. Eutychus means well-fated or favored. And so he fell asleep because the preaching was long, and I won't let that happen to you tonight. And he fell from a third-story window. Well, what a mark that could have put on the church. But the preacher saw an opportunity, and he fell to the street, and the Bible said he died. But the preacher went down and said, "Trouble not yourselves, his life is still in him." Is that what he said? And they laughed. They thought it was a joke, but they brought him alive. They prayed for him, brought him up, and brought him alive. And the Bible said the church wasn't a little comforted. They went ballistic. Because someone who was dead was now brought to life. He fell out into the street. He fell out into the street. And see, that's what the ploy of the adversary who wants to distract us and keep us busy. He wants to pull us to the street. And in the street, you're going to die. Please hear me tonight. In here is reality and where we get our nourishment and our life. And it's up to us, the body, to bring them from the street to reality. And so they brought him back up and brought him alive, the Bible says. And the church was not a little comforted. They were excited. And so we have things that come into our lives as a family of God, into the church, and we pray and we fast and we unite as a body. And then God works his miracles. And we get excited. And God does not fail. All things are for a purpose. I want to tell you that in no way, shape, or form do I feel undermined or slighted by the things that have happened in our life in the last 6 weeks. But here's what I want to tell you. That I believed to the very end that something good could come out of what was happening, and it has, because we have had a number of conversations with people about the goodness of God and all the things that have happened. And I've been talking with the same doctors and the same nurses and the same people for about 6 weeks now, almost every day. But I want to give you a picture. I want you to keep this in your mind. It was on 5/19/19. 1 month ago today, that a little 14-ounce girl, Ava, passed away. We had her for 8 hours. And I remember the decisions that had to be made, and it was a painful situation. But they handed me that little baby who they took out of the incubator, who had no lungs and could not breathe. And I thought that the baby was dead. But I held that little girl. I am not trying to be graphic. I want to give you a spiritual picture. I held that little baby, and her heart was beating. But she had no breath in her lungs. And I held her, and I came to a resolve in my mind that I am going to pray for this child until that heart stops beating, because if God can raise the dead, he can grow lungs. And I still believe that. And I remember my pastor walking into that room. And I said, this baby's heart is still beating, and I want to pray. Here's what God showed me. I was there. The man of God was there, who directs us through the Word of God week after week after week. I had a child who had a heartbeat, but no breath. Each and every day, you and I pass people in this world that have a heartbeat. They have a breath, but they do not have the breath of God in their lives. How precious was that life? It was precious, and it was very delicate. How precious is their life? It is very delicate and precious to God. They have a heartbeat, but they don't have the breath. And that's where the kingdom of God comes in. Everyone you rub shoulders with is a candidate to have the breath of God in their lives, so that they can become one of those lively stones fitly joined together in the body of Christ. Because in his kingdom, no stone shall go unturned. No stone shall go unturned. Each and every one of us has someone in our life, in our day, wherever it is we go, that we can be a part of, seeing to it that they receive that breath of God. Thank you, Jesus. It's all for a purpose, a bigger purpose. Her name was Janice. She works where I work right now. And 6 months ago, she went from one job to another, and she was struggling with some things in life. She let little things consume her. She didn't know how she was going to make ends meet. Someone talked to her about going from one job to another, so she made the switch, no insurance, and she worked at this place for about 3 hours one day, and she had a heart attack and tipped over. But through it all, through all that turmoil, she told me just yesterday that there was never a time in her life where she felt the peace of God and the power of God more than ever when she went through that struggle. And now she is out there, she can't stop herself from telling people about the goodness of God. Why? Because she tipped over and had a heart attack. They sent her to specialists, medical bills that reached $350,000. And she didn't have insurance. But then she paid for her Cobra, and they went back and paid for everything but, watch this, $7,000. $7,000. There's that number seven, the finger of God. Look, there is always a part that we are responsible for, but $7,000 versus $351,000, that sounds like a deal to me. And she got her life back. And do you know what she told me? The things I used to stress about and the things that used to bother me aren't even on the map anymore, because I got a different perspective. And so what's that all about? What we have here and what we glean from the Word of God gives us a different perspective to tell to this world, because in case you haven't seen the headlines or heard the news, this place out here is coming unraveled. And if there was ever a time someone needed sanity, we're living in the day and the time. Amen. Ephesians 4, 15 and 16 says this, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, look at this, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by the what? The effectual working in the measure of every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part. We all have a part in this. We have more of an effect on this world than you can believe we do. Silently they watch. I can't tell you with what we've been through with this situation with the little girls, how many people came up and said, what a beautiful family. What a faith. What a strength. What a breath of fresh air. And we're thinking, I don't know how you saw that, but obviously they must have saw it. We know what they saw. It was the Lord in that situation. What it was it was the love of Christ. There aren't too many times that Jesus shouted. Although in John 7 and 37, the Bible says he cried with a loud voice and said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So what am I saying? With everything that we are challenged with, and everything that wants to weigh us down and occupy us, if there's one thing the church should be shouting about, it's come here and drink. If you have a thirst, come to a place where you can be satisfied. Let's go to John, the 11th chapter. John 11, starting at verse 33. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have ye laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. And Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave cloths, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Who do you know that's dead? No stone unturned, because the Lord wants to move that stone away and call another one out to be a part of the kingdom, to sit at the table and dine with the Lord. No stone unturned. It don't matter who you are, where you come from, what your background is. He's willing to bring you forth and make you a part of the body. Mark 16. Verse 1, and when the Sabbath was passed, and Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James, and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun, and they said among themselves, who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away or rolled back, for it was very great, or it was very large. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed with a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he said unto them, be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold, the place where they laid him. But go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There ye shall see him as he said unto you. And Peter. Tell Peter, whom sayest men that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Let me toss you the keys, Peter. Peter got the keys to the kingdom. Peter preached the first apostolic message, repentance and baptism in the name of Jesus and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. The same message that was handed down from generation to generation to generation to the year 2019 and beyond, so that we could teach it and allow for others to grow from what we teach. The stone was rolled away. Who was going to roll it away? Jesus, because he saw us from afar off, and he knew that one day, and he rolled the stone away that was in front of our situation. The Bible says it was very large. I don't know what your situations are. I don't know what mountain you may be facing. I don't know what trial you may have to endure. But can I tell you that he is faithful, and he will roll that stone away and make a way for you to bring glory to him through the situation. I will remain confident in this. I shall see the goodness of the Lord. And the Lord has selected and chosen you and I to allow this world to see the goodness of the Lord through us and his word. Would you stand with me? You know, the temple that was built The month of flowers and brightness and goodness represents us when we first got the Holy Ghost and we were so excited about what God was doing in our lives. And then in that last month and the month of rain, that there was to be increase. And that's where the church is in the year 2019. It's time for the increase. But remember, Scripture tells us that not only should we produce fruit, but that our fruit should remain. You know what? The same goodness and the same giddiness and the same excitement and the same smiles and the same joy that came into our lives when He gave us the breath of God should be seen in us today if there is ever a people that has a reason to rejoice and has hope in the future. It should be the church. Amen. Amen. Would you please consider dusting off that Bible chart, getting out the lesson plans, and get ready to bring forth an increase. Build a temple for the kingdom. I can tell you that right in the middle of it, there will be so much goodness that is ushered into your life and so much life and renewing in God because of seeing the light go on in somebody else's eyes, because the same thing that was transferred to you through the Spirit will be transferred to their lives. There's nothing more rewarding. There's nothing more rewarding. And I ask you, please, commit to building a temple for the kingdom of God. Amen.
Brother Bear. Thank you, Brother Bear. I stand up here every week. And many times God's saying, can these bones live? I see someone drag themselves into this church. Perhaps it hasn't been around for a while. Or I can see they're not doing well. But God says, speak to the bones. Yes. Yes. And then the wind comes. The breath comes. Not only is that effective in the house of the Lord, but when we're out there, God's saying, can these bones live? And the only way they can live is for someone to speak to them and then let the Holy Ghost come and move into them and give them life. It's the only way it works. We can't have a greater song service or anything else that we can produce here, but as Ezekiel heard, speak to the bones. And then let the wind move and do the work. Amen. Glory to God. We have a responsibility, folks. Amen. The altar's open. Would you come?